Hi, I'm Tom Newell. Welcome to Family Sports Life Today. We're bringing together parents, coaches, and athletes to talk about having a better sports experience, better family connections, and a better sports life for our kids.
And I'm Coach Guy Perry, and whether we're talking about elementary, middle school, or high school sports, whether you're an experienced coach or just getting involved with your kids' team, Family Sports Life Today is the place to talk about sports and learn.
Welcome to Family Sports Life Today. I'm Jay Arnold. In this episode, Coach Tom Newell and I will interview Dr. John Thayer. Dr. Thayer is an orthopedic surgeon with Proliance Orthopedic and Sports Medicine in Bellevue. Our topic today is injuries, how to avoid them, how to recognize them, and when they happen, how to deal with them, both as an athlete or as a parent.
Dr. John, this is Coach Tom Newell with you. I'm so happy that you would be able to take the time to visit with us, but more importantly, share some of the expertise and insights today with young patients participating in youth sports and activities.
Well, it's my pleasure, Tom. I look forward to talking to you.
Great. Let's begin with this, Dr. John. Have you noticed a change in the demographics of patients' ages and sports activities over the last, 5 to 6 years or so?
I think definitely, perhaps even longer back than that, as I think what's happening is kids are participating in sports at younger and younger ages. I think parents are realizing it's healthy to get them outside. There's an emphasis on fitness and weight control. And I think there's just more kids out there to get injuries than there ever used to be before. And the other thing I've noticed is, and I've been around a long time, not so much over the last 3 to 5 years, but certainly from 10 to 15 years ago, there's a lot more females in the sports world. There's more opportunities for them, more sports that open up to girls, and so we're seeing boys and girls in pretty much equal numbers these days.
Dr. Thayer, is one sport or one sport injury more susceptible to your attention than others?
A lot of what we see in youth sports injuries are overuse injuries, and I think by far and away the one I would see the most is of the knee. And it tends to be more in females than males. We call it runner's knee, which is an overuse, really, of the back of the kneecap. It can be running or basketball or track or anything that stresses the knee too much. So I think out of all the injuries I see, that's probably number one. Of true injuries, where someone had an event, it's probably the ankle. The outside of the ankle is just more unstable than the other parts of the ankle, and it tends to be vulnerable. And we see those quite frequently.
In the last 10 years, Dr. John, here in the Northwest, I've noticed a dramatic change in the number of kids participating in multiple activities here in the Northwest. Sometimes, leaving one practice and going on to a completely different surface and physical activity. Are kids at risk practicing and playing crossover sports on the same day?
Well, I think that people have to adjust from the soft surfaces outside, whether it be football or the soccer field, to the hard surface of basketball court or tennis. And I think the body has to accommodate to that. What I think is the bigger issue, though, is if you're doing two sports in one day, it's just the overall beating the body takes in one day and does not have a chance to recover. Kids are pretty durable, but they fatigue like the rest of us do. And I think kids are more vulnerable to overt injuries or overuse injuries when they get fatigued. And some kids that are practicing 4 and 5 hours a day, the muscles can't maintain the support of the skeleton.
My coaching and camp experience from questionnaires that I've given to kids through the years indicate that kids are playing between 3 to 5 sports over a 5-year period before settling in on one activity before high school. Now, I don't have any problem with kids playing multiple sports, just the issue of practicing the same day, just what you were talking about, recovery time, different coaches, different biomechanics to learn and develop, different rules, and the dangers of fatigue, proper nutrition, rehydrating during and between activities, and an inflammation carryover from one activity to the next without proper first aid application, etc., such as, ice to a bruised knee, shoulder, and so on. Do you have any recommendations or suggestions to parents out there when they do pick up their son or daughter going from one activity to another? I mean, they're already engaged in this. They've already signed them up. they can't quit right now. They don't want to disrupt the team. But is there something you would recommend, you know, when parents are in this dilemma and predicament?
I think one of the biggest things, Tom, would be to make sure they're traveling from one sport to the next, that the parent just asks them how they're doing and truly get an honest answer. If they're nurturing something along on one sport, or they had an injury that day, they need to be honest with the coach and say, hey, I've been injured. I need to not fully participate in the next sport. And I think that the coaches need to ask the kids about that as well. And sometimes they just get so caught up into their practice that they neglect to think about that. But the other thing is, between sports, kids need to be hydrated, and they need to have something to eat, some healthy snack or whatever, because you can go from lunch to sports to dinner at 7:38 at night. That is not healthy for these kids. And again, they're gonna break down because of that. Physically, the muscles won't be able to support the body, like I mentioned before. Okay. That, to me, is a big issue.
So I picked my son up from soccer. All right, he's had a two-hour soccer practice. It's been cold outside, raining a little bit. He gets in the car. I give him a slice of pizza, and you don't have to talk about nutrition here. But he says that his legs are really sore. And so I say, well, here, so I give him some ibuprofen, you know, with mm-hmm. some water.
No, it is. I don't think ibuprofen is appropriate in that setting at all. I think what that does is promote continued overuse. I'm not a big pill pusher in kids in that setting. I think if they had a bona fide injury and they are recovering from it and they're doing other things in addition to ibuprofen, then I have no problem. They need to be resting, the exercises, the ice, the splints, maybe some therapy. And if that's not quite enough, then you add ibuprofen to it. It's certainly not the first line of defense.
Right.
I think that gets kids in trouble. And then they get used to it. Then they get on the mental frame, I'm a little sore, I think I'll take ibuprofen. And then they had a bottle in their gym bag. And I think that just sends really the wrong message to kids.
I agree.
Dr. Thayer, what advice would you give to kids about listening to their body and determining when they may be suffering from overuse and need to back off versus saying, you know, they're working hard, they're working out, and this is normal part of practice or normal part of the game?
Well, you know, certainly in getting in shape for any sport, you're going to be more sore just in general the beginning of the season. And I think it's more of an issue if people get into the season and they start to get a soreness for no good reason. That means they're clearly overdoing it. And I think most people are pretty good at predicting, is it kind of muscle, general soreness, or is one particular area hurting more than others? And what I tell kids is that if they start to get some area that kind of lingers, it'd be a lot better to care for that body part now on the front end versus letting it go on and on, and they'll be out a lot longer in the long haul than if they care for it at the beginning. So instead of cutting back for a week or 10 days at the beginning, if they held on for a month and grit their teeth, they'd be out for 3 to 4 weeks down the line. So they'll be in their sport more overall if they care for the injuries or the overuse problems at the beginning. And I tell kids, every athlete is going to get some overuse or some bona fide injury, and that's part of athletics, and you've got to care for it or it'll come back to haunt you.
Do you find, Dr. John, that you're also sometimes a sports psychologist as well when it comes to letting the patient down gently when they are given the extent of their injury?
You know, I think that's a big part of it is whenever any athlete at any level is told that they really need not to do their sport, they'll tear up very commonly, and then they'll realize after we go through the discussion that, you know, it's not that bad in the sense that they've got to care for it now. And I go back to what I said, you give them hope that you'll be playing more overall if you care for it now. So jump on it, get it to heal up, and then, get back into it slowly and you'll be much better off. And I tell kids that's athletics. If you don't want injuries, then don't do athletics.
Right.
Those are your choices. And every athlete is going to get an injury. You've got an injury, now care for it. And that's what athletes do. If you want longevity in your sport, you've got to care for it now because you don't want to come back and haunt you in the future.
That's a great point. Interestingly enough, most parents that have never suffered a broken bone or a sports injury sometimes find themselves at a loss over what to say, when to say something, and then how to say anything that will make their son or daughter feel better.
Yeah, well, I think just giving them a game plan, you know, and I think that, you know, young kids do not need as much formal therapy as adults do, because they just tend to heal faster with less supervision. But if you have a therapist involved to a certain extent, they can kind of formulate a game plan. Here's what we're going to do this week, in 2 weeks this, or 3 weeks this. So the patient or the kids have a game plan. It's like a teacher giving an outline for the semester. If they have a game plan, they can kind of adhere to it. And there's a little fudge factor in there, but I think they'll have hope if they see something's being done, not just I'm sitting around and losing my fitness. So what I have kids do is cross train. You know, if you get hurt, doing one sport, then you can always run if you can't pivot and cut. You can always work in the upper body if you can't in the lower body. So they're doing something, because most kids like some sort of feeling of fitness. And cross-training, I think, is a big part of that. So that also gives them hope as well. They're not going to get out of shape and deconditioned.
How do we recognize our kids' sports injuries as being serious or not? And I'm speaking as a parent.
You know, I think that one of the simplest things, if you're dealing with the lower extremity, and it was kind of, what's the definition of serious? I mean, you know, if some kid has a minor ankle sprain, but he can't run track because of it, to him that's considered a serious injury. To us, it's, and a parent, it's not really considered serious. So you have to keep that in context. But in general, injuries that you need to be more aware of is when some kid cannot walk off the court. If they can't walk, if they walk off the court and sit down and then complain of pain, it's not a serious injury.
Okay.
Meaning it's not a fracture. Typically, it's not a fracture. It's not a completely injured ligament. So that's kind of a real screening thing I do, looking from the stands down. They come off, they miss the rest of the game. And, you know, they might have done something, but it's not terrible. The other thing is visible signs of something going on, swelling. If some kid is swelling, that's an injury they need to kind of be attentive to. And the body swells for a reason, and that means it has an injury. Some overuse ones don't swell, so you have to kind of, you know, fudge it a little bit there. But so I go by the swelling and how functional they are after they had their injury.
So how would you describe a protocol for the parent that we should go through when we see some injury? Maybe it's limping off the court.
You bet. You know, that's a good point, because if every minor injury saw the doctor, I mean, the parents would be in the doctor's office once a week. So I think that you always start with the rice. You rest, ice, maybe a little wrap of some sort, elevation, keep the body part up, and give it a chance. And I'd add, if you have a visible swelling, some irritation, to treat an injury, then a little ibuprofen I have no problem with. Unlike before, when they're doing it so they can overdo it, that's not acceptable. If you do the ibuprofen as part of the healing process, that's fine. And what I typically do is kind of give it perhaps a week to 10-day time frame. If it's really not swollen, the body part is moving okay, a lot of injuries, you know, minor sprains and so forth, should really be doing well in, let's say, a week. If there's significant swelling, they can't move it, they're not sleeping at night, they need pain medicine at night, Tylenol, ibuprofen, that's the sort of thing that you should probably have checked out.
Should parents take precautions with their kids in contact sports, Dr. John? By precautions, I mean ankle supports, you know, for soccer, baseball, basketball, tennis, the neoprene knee sleeves, you know, for the jumper's knee support brace that kids wear, that band. Are we weakening the joints and the tissues and the ligaments by attaching them to such a young body today?
Yeah, I think the only disadvantage of using splints kind of preventively is, again, if it's the only thing that's done, it's probably not a good idea. If you use a preventive ankle brace or even a preventive knee sleeve, it needs to be part of the overall preventive measures, and that's strengthening. So if someone's concerned enough about their ankle to wear an ankle brace, which is probably the commonest area, they also need to be on a little eversion strengthening program, which is where you kind of work the muscles on the outside of the ankle. Then if they do that, then the splint does not just act as a crutch. If you do it only, I want a quick fix sort of attitude, and that's not right. And athletes need to come to realize that part of their training is the boring part of sports, and that's conditioning.
I agree.
So the only time they have a problem with it is that's the only thing they do.
Right.
That's not okay.
Well, I agree. I'm finding more and more kids when I do my camps in the summer, Dr. John, and this will just scare you. But then again, you've got kids, and you've seen how technology has changed their social behavior. But during the summer, I have kids ages 8 through 14, 15, boys and girls that spend between 4 to 6 hours a day on the computer, which means they're sitting or they're texting. That type of inactivity, and then the carryover is then they go to a practice, a soccer practice and what have you, and without the proper nutrition, I mean, there's a real issue and danger that's going to evolve from that. And so the things that we're talking about here as far as precautionary measures, I know that you subscribe to this. I think our kids need more exercise.
Yeah, I think, well, there's a fine line. You know, some kids, the two-sport or three-sport athletes, obviously they do. I think all kids should be in some sport. My feeling is all kids should be in some sport during the year. There's a lot of, and even in high school, each season in most schools has a non-cut sport. And just to get them out there, it's not just the physical fitness, it's camaraderie and learning about sports. So absolutely agree. You know, if you look at the statistics, there's adolescent obesity is a huge problem. And I think it's like a mindset, starting with the parents. Mm-hmm. So a parent who lets their kid in the computer 6 hours a day, you know, that's not a good starting point.
Last question, Dr. John. How important is it to have our children take a physical exam after the season of competition? And I know when I was coaching in the NBA, our players per contract and the collective bargaining agreement, the Players Association, and I know in football they do this also, before they leave for the off season, they have to take a physical per contract just to find out, to make sure that they, you know, don't have any debilitating or lingering injuries that may need continued off-season rehabilitation or surgery. What are your thoughts about parents spending, you know, the $45 to $50 to go in and just get a postseason physical to make sure that the kids are all right? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think at the young age group, I do not have as strong a feeling as I would in adults. Unless a youngster has ongoing symptoms that don't rapidly get better after the season ends. So someone, you know, 3 weeks or in that ballpark afterwards are still having any sort of trouble, that part needs checked out. But if someone's back to normal, no problems whatsoever, a week later, I personally don't think that's an issue. And I'm talking about mostly middle school and early high school kids. As high schoolers get into their junior and senior year, then they are acting more adults, and I'd change my tune on that. I think those folks, especially around the shoulder for throwing athletes and around the knee, I guess, would not be a bad idea. Depends on the age of the athlete.
I know of two basketball players. One is just finishing high school now, and one that finished college a couple of years ago, that had suffered early in their sports participation a stress fracture in their back, but it wasn't really noticed until 4 years later. Do you see that happen a lot?
Absolutely do. And, everyone injures the back. We've all had it, kids do. And it's not commonly a disabling stress fracture. They can kind of continue. They lose a little speed. But it's like anything you do with the back continues to kind of tweak that area in the low back, and it just won't heal. And in kids, they have the best chance to heal those, the younger the better, because they'll heal those stress fractures and backs. And as they get more skeletally mature, they don't heal very well. So I think that the back, I think there's a kind of a newer appreciation for that, and we're seeing it definitely a lot more than we used to.
Wow. And I
think partly it's the year-round sports these kids do.
It's not just
the football players, the linemen coming up and having their arching of their back so much. That's where you used to see it. Now you see it in basketball players and any other sport.
I mean, you read about it too.
It's a stress fracture. Yeah. It, And you can't see it. It doesn't swell. You can't put your finger on it because it's deep to the muscles. It's a real deal.
And the kids just say, well, my back's sore.
Yeah. And the parents naturally say, well, you didn't have an injury. It can't be a fracture. You didn't have an injury.
Right.
But it is. It's a real deal.
And that's the thing is that, you know, most parents, that as we shared before, have never suffered a debilitating sports injury, would
right.
not know how to relate to the pain threshold, let
right.
alone the answer that the child gives to, well, where does it
yeah, and parents,
my lower back?
Parents don't want to keep the kids out for something that the kids are kind of working through anyway.
That's
the time that you tend to, in kids, we can have a lower threshold of actually taking x-ray in the kids. So that's one of the injuries, like we mentioned earlier, Tom, that you don't sit at home for 6 weeks and kind of, you know, my back's hurting, don't worry about it. You know, after, you know, the three-week mark, if it's still bugging someone, then that's when you actually would see a physician, and that's one of the few times you would take an x-ray at the first visit.
We're with Dr. John Thayer, and he has been so kind to share with us his insight, his expertise, and just general thoughts on youth sports injuries today and trying to help parents, kids, and even make coaches more responsible, volunteer coaches and high school coaches alike, more responsible in understanding and appreciating how important each student athlete is when they participate in sports activities.
Well, Tom, it's my pleasure. And as a parent of three athletes, I sure have appreciated your input over the years.
Thanks for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today program, please give us a call and we'll try to use it in a future episode. Or send us email, familysportslifetoday@gmail.com.
And please visit our website at familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to these programs online or subscribe and download them to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Hey coaches, hey parents. Hey kids, thanks for listening. Take care and have a great family sports life today.